To a big announcement today from Europe. The European Central Bank announced that starting in March, it will buy the equivalent of $70 billion in bonds from Eurozone countries each month. It's a long-anticipated attempt to prop up Europe's weak economy, and the bond buying is known as quantitative easing, which, if that sounds familiar, it's the same program the U.S. Federal Reserve recently wrapped up after about 6 years. Derek Thompson is senior editor with The Atlantic. He joins us from New York, as he does each week. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
And tell us more about this plan, first of all, for Europe and how it is supposed to help turn the economy there around.
This is, as you said, very similar to the plan that Americans know as QE3. And the Cliff Notes version is this. The central bank buys bonds from smaller banks, giving them money to lend at lower interest rates to businesses or families or individuals. And when these people, when businesses and families spend that money, the economy grows. So you're basically creating money and pushing it out into the economy through banks. This should lead to inflation. It should lead to investment. It should lead to more spending. And Europe needs every bit of all of that. It's not just going through a recession. It is really going through something more like a continental depression.
And there are real concerns there about a deflation situation, a serious problem with prices falling.
That's exactly right. Deflation is sometimes worse than inflation, even though that sounds somewhat weird. When you have deflation, when the value of the money keeps going up, people save money. They don't spend it. And so you enter this vicious cycle where you keep having a worse and worse economy without any obvious way for the central bank to come in and fix it up.
Why would you want to go out and buy a TV, for example, if you know that it's going to be worth less tomorrow and less the next day? There's no reason to buy anything. The European Central Bank President Mario Draghi spoke today about some of the limits, though, of this bond buying program. Let's take a listen.
What monetary policy can do is to create the basis for growth. But for growth to pick up, you need investment. For investment, you need confidence. And for confidence, you need structural reforms.
So, Derek, it sounds like he's saying this is not going to be a silver bullet solution. What else does Europe need to do to get its economy moving again?
He's talking about the limits of monetary policy. Monetary policy means injecting capital into the economy through banks, like I said. But, you know, what if you're a cashier in Madrid and you've just lost your job? How are lower interest rates exactly going to help you? On their own, they're not going to help you the same way that a literal tax credit puts money into your bank account. So monetary policy is a little bit like Miracle-Gro. It only works if other conditions, the equivalent of rain and sunshine, are met. Hmm. And so here are some of the conditions that Europe needs. Europe needs more spending inside of Europe. It needs more exports. That means more spending that's coming from outside of Europe. It needs, honestly, more people. Population stagflation tends to breed economic stagflation, as we've seen in Japan. So yeah, he's exactly right. Monetary policy alone is not the silver bullet.
Well, and the other thing that is different about this than in the United States, where we had quantitative easing for a number of years, is that the U.S. is one country. The Eurozone is made up of many different countries, and there's some debate about the way that the countries in the Eurozone are going to share the risk and cost of this program. Mario Draghi addressed that issue today. What did he say?
Well, this is such an important point. It really can't be overstated. The European Union is a currency union, but not a fiscal union. That means they
and
all use
political
the same
union.
Currency. Right, or a political union. They all use the same currency, but they don't have the same central government collecting taxes and spending. So it's really helpful to compare to the U.S. The U.S. has Mississippi. Every year, Mississippi receives a net transfer of money from the government. We don't say, shape up Mississippi or we're kicking you out of the union. We just keep sending them Medicaid and tax transfers. In the Europe, it's not a Mississippi situation. It's a Spain and Portugal and Greece situation where there is this enormous debate about whether Germany should, quote, share risks with Spain, Portugal, and Greece. In a way, we never, ever talk about Minnesota or New York having to, quote, share risks with Missouri and Mississippi. We just keep sending them transfers. And the fact that these European countries have to balance their budgets at the very time that what they really need is lower taxes and more spending for their people, more money sent to them from the government, a deficit essentially. This is why you've seen this vicious cycle among these peripheral countries. They are being forced into austerity at the very moment that austerity is the worst possible policy for them. Monetary policy, again, is Miracle-Gro. It can begin to help the situation. But when the sunshine and the rain is locked out, it's difficult to see how much an effect it can have, at least immediately.
Derek, what kind of an effect will this have on the United States economy?
You know, last time we talked a little bit about deflation and the worries of deflation in the U.S. And you had a great question. You said, why in the world should the U.S. be worried about deflation if we've just had sensational growth in 2014 and jobs are growing sensationally month over month? This is why. The U.S. is not an island. It's not an economy into itself. We share partners. We have exports. Our businesses do work globally. And if you have an entire continent in Europe, which is going through a depression that is literally rivaling the lost decade in Japan and the lost decade in Europe in the 1930s. That is how bad a depression we're talking about. It's difficult to have optimal growth for these sort of companies and individuals, families throughout the U.S. if you're dealing with a very important engine in Europe, which is basically shut down for the foreseeable future.
And we've got some news just coming up this weekend that may impact all of this, and that is an election going on in Greece, one of the countries that has needed the most help throughout this debt crisis. We'll keep an eye on that. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thanks so much.
Thank you.